Coming your way today from the Avon Library Studios, it's Bullseye on the Afternoon here on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM. You've got a little extra time to learn more about Issue 12. Earlier today, Governor Mike DeWine mentioned that a lawsuit will be filed to postpone the election until June 2nd, so you've got more opportunities here to find out more about Issue 12 on the Avon ballot. It renovates and operates your library for the next 20 years. A message from the Lorain Public Library System. Andy Bulbarch joined alongside Rocco Nucci, and it's time now for us to head to the hotline to welcome in the next guest for us, and a guy that's pretty well-traveled internationally, I might add, within the last week. And boy, that's saying something. The adventurous Michael Warschauer joins us right now on the hotline. Michael, how are you?
Doing well. Happy to be back and talking to you guys.
Well, there are a lot of things we'd like to discuss with you today. We always have you on to talk about what's going on in the world of TV, movies, and beyond. But today we want to start with something entirely different. You were in the UK last week at this time, and international travel can be a little puzzling at this point. And, you know, I'm just kind of curious, what were things like over in the UK last week? And, you know, how does it compare to what's going on here right now?
Well, it was certainly kind of an interesting time to go. When I left about a week ago, or a little over a week ago, about 10 days ago, it was still sort of like this thing was coming, but I don't think there was quite the widespread panic that really picked up very quickly. And that was sort of the same thing over in the UK. I mean, pretty much everywhere you went, there were signs that were, you know, from their National Health Service telling you how to wash your hands. I think most places had really done a good job of making sure they had extra soap and hand sanitizer. And really, I think there was just sort of some precaution, but other than that, you really didn't notice a lot of differences. We did have one day we were in a museum in London and taking an elevator, and one of the employees was in the elevator and kind of joked and said, "What would happen if I coughed right now? How would you all react?" And it really kind of broke the tension being in that enclosed space. But for the most part, I think it was somewhat of a careful but not overdone panic yet. It certainly, though, was a big contrast. I returned on Wednesday night, and within 2 hours of my plane landing, there was the suspension of the NBA season, the president starting to block flights from Europe, and then Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson announcing that they had coronavirus. So I was telling friends that it was kind of like I woke up in the beginning of a zombie movie, and like everything had fallen apart. When I was coming home, it was all of a sudden like, oh, wow, this is kind of exploded. As far as the travel, you know, my flight when I booked it was mostly full, and when I got on it, it was maybe 25% full. They actually moved people around their seats so that pretty much everyone had their own row and was able to give some space in between each other. And getting in when I did was very fortunate. The airport here in the States and customs was not very difficult, but certainly that has changed in the last couple of days. So, you know, I can say personally I had some really good timing and a really good window when I made it home, but I know it's certainly gotten a lot more busy and chaotic in the last several days.
So to put that into perspective, you said that your flight was 25% full flying back into the Chicago area. You flew into O'Hare, which is the busiest airport in the world, if I'm not mistaken. And any flight that goes into O'Hare, 25% full? I mean, I think that kind of tells you all you need to know, doesn't it?
It does. And I will say that, you know, as we were walking through the airport to our gate, we did see a flight to Los Angeles that looked absolutely packed. So there was this weird kind of, you know, feeling of like some of these flights were absolutely packed. Some of them were very empty. It was just a moment where I think a lot of people didn't know what was happening next. And obviously a few more dominoes have fallen since then. But still a pretty wild experience, a very different one than you would have any other time.
So the international travel portion of this sounds like it really wasn't affected at all. It didn't seem like that was a crazy experience, and part of that's got to do with timing, as you mentioned. I mean, last week when we spoke, you mentioned that you were over in the UK, and I thought, oh, okay, you know, no big deal. I mean, I think everybody's kind of being cautious with everything that's going on in the world, and then I thought at the end of this week, I thought, holy smokes, Michael's probably still over in the UK. Maybe he's having a hard time getting back. But then we connected yesterday, and you mentioned, no. My timing was perfect. I got back here just in time. And, like, it's just wild how when you land, so many different things had changed. You mentioned the NBA was kind of the first domino to fall, and then everybody else just kind of followed suit. I thought your analogy of being at the beginning of a zombie movie, I thought was spot on as well. So we'll get into a little bit more of the movie talk now. And, of course, now more than ever, my friend, we need to know what to watch, because a lot of people are working from home and they're staying at home and they're trying to find out what they should be watching, and eventually we'll come back around to that. But I want to begin with the effect that the COVID-19 virus has had on the movie industry. What kind of an economic impact do you think this is going to have on the film industry?
Like it is everywhere else, this is going to have a really, really major impact. And there's a lot of different things that are going on. First of all, at this point in time, pretty much every major production has shut down, even small productions. For the most part, even your smallest commercials have a crew of 10 to 15 people. So a lot of these things are shutting down out of an overabundance of caution, just like everything else. So for starters, that means any movies that are in production, any TV shows right now, they're all going to be delayed, at least until for a few weeks until we see what's going to happen. That is for sure going to happen with anything that's still in production. As far as major, like, tentpole films, we've already seen James Bond, the new Fast and the Furious, Mulan, several other big tentpoles that were supposed to come out over the next month or so are all getting postponed to either later in the year or next summer. And I suspect that that is going to be a continuing trend, especially if this pandemic and this sort of national emergency carries on for longer than 1 month or two. There's just simply way too much money for these studios to leave on the table with these movies that cost hundreds of millions of dollars for them to do anything but wait until this is over and they can put them back out into theaters. On the flip side of that, though, I think you're going to start to see movies that are currently in theaters or have just left theaters move to streaming much, much faster. Disney sort of kicked this off earlier this or over the weekend, I think. They decided to move up the release of Frozen 2 to streaming platforms much earlier to the delight of parents across the country. That, I think, is going to start becoming a consistent thing. I think about a movie like, for instance, Sonic the Hedgehog, which just came out about a month ago. With all the theaters closed, the studio might as well go ahead and put that on streaming, try and make some more money off of it, especially from people that have not yet seen it, who were waiting for it to come out on the streaming. This is their chance. But in a lot of cases, whenever they can delay a movie release, it's much better for the studios to have, like, a family of five paying for five movie tickets than just buying one movie rental, no matter what the cost is. So I suspect that that is going to be kind of a continuing trend. But on a different couple of levels, on, like, more of a personal and local level, this is really going to affect a lot of people. You know, a majority of the people that work in the entertainment industry are what we call below the line crew members. They're the people that are handling wardrobe and catering and security, transportation. These really, you know, very important jobs that get the whole production to flow. And pretty much everyone is out of work now. A lot of people are employed on a job-to-job basis or freelance, and jobs have been shut down, and they don't know if they're coming back, when they're coming back, what the next job would look like. I work in the industry, and I have many friends that do, and pretty much across the board, people are saying they're more concerned with when they're going to work again, when they're going to get a paycheck, than they are actually getting the disease. So I think that that is a major concern for a lot of people that work in film. It's also going to have a really big impact on movie theaters, especially as they're starting to get shut down in major cities like New York, Los Angeles. Several here in Chicago are starting to shut down. One thing that I saw suggested by the great podcaster and film historian Karina Longworth on Twitter was, if you can right now, buy gift certificates to your local independent movie theaters, that you can support them that way, get them a little bit of money right now when they need to pay their employees who are obviously out with the theater closed. And that way you can enjoy the theater when it opens back up again. So that's one really easy way to kind of keep your local independent cinemas open and supported in this time. But yeah, just sort of like everybody else, there's a lot of question marks and a lot of major changes that are going to be happening over the next couple of months to the film industry.
And that's an interesting take on the film industry, too, because we've heard a lot of the same things with the food service industry and the bar industry as well. So an interesting perspective on that as well. Again, we're being joined on the hotline by Michael Warschauer, our Hollywood guru, getting his trials and tribulations going to the UK and back last week and making it so just in the nick of time. All right, Michael, as we mentioned before, now more than ever, people need to know what they should be watching. So picks to click take on a totally new meaning here today. We're going to split these up a little bit. Let's begin with some documentaries. Which documentaries are out there right now that we should check out going straight through the weekend and possibly beyond?
Well, first of all, I want to offer two broad suggestions as you're quarantined and trying to figure out what things to watch and just sort of endlessly. The first one is there's a couple of really great lists of the greatest films of all time. One comes from the American Film Institute. Their most recent list was back in 2007, but it still has a lot of really great films. The other is the British Film Institute's Sight and Sound poll from 2012. Both of these are just really tremendous lists of the greatest movies ever made, both American and international. If you're looking to kind of catch up on film history or just sort of need a list of new things to watch, I highly recommend checking out those lists. The other thing that I've seen suggested is pick a director, a trilogy, and a film franchise and try and watch all of those movies. It's just an easy way to kind of keep a list, like have some sort of goal in mind as you're watching over however long we're going to be quarantined. But as far as documentaries and docuseries, there's a lot right now. One of my favorites that I believe is on Netflix at the moment is, if you're a music fan, it's called Living in the Material World. It's a Martin Scorsese documentary about George Harrison, and it's very, very good. It shows really the depths of him as a human being in ways that I don't think a lot of people knew about him. And so that is a really great one. I would also recommend, if you have not watched it already, the docuseries Wild Wild Country on Netflix. It is wild. It's a story that you kind of can't believe was sort of just very obscure for a long time. It's an easy watch. That's a good one. I would also recommend Wormwood, another Netflix documentary series from the legendary Errol Morris about the CIA and the FBI's acid LSD testing in the 1950s and 60s. Ken Burns just made his entire baseball documentary free to watch on the PBS app. So if you're depressed that baseball's not coming back and sports are on hold in general, that's a great escape. And last, a very, very, very funny documentary. It's called The Aristocrat, and it is about the inside joke amongst stand-up comedian that is supposedly the funniest joke ever told. It is the raunchiest joke ever told, and every comedian has a very insane take on it, but it is absolutely hilarious. It's a really good watch if you just need a consistent laugh for a long period of time. So those are at least to get started, those are some documentaries and docuseries to check out.
Okay, well, there's some really good ones mixed in there for sure. And again, people need all the ammunition in that regard as they can possibly find at this point. So, Michael, we'll close out with some of the action movies and shows, and we'll also get into some comedies here as well. My favorite category amongst those two categories, well, what really kind of stands out to you?
Well, so as far as comedy, I think there are a couple of really great ones that you can watch right now. Tonight, I'm planning on watching the Albert Brooks classic, Defending Your Life. It's him, Meryl Streep, Rip Torn. Hilarious. Very, very, very funny. Definitely worth checking out. I also recommend Pop Star, Never Stop, Never Stopping, the Andy Samberg Lonely Island movie. It is a very dumb movie, but one that always makes me laugh. I watch it regularly. Just a very funny, kind of silly movie to check out. On Netflix, you can watch the series Great News. It comes from one of Tina Fey's proteges, Tracy Wigfield, and was produced by Tina Fey. So if you like 30 Rock, that's a quick and easy watch. And as far as some action movies, I highly recommend checking out Hannah. It was an action movie from a couple of years ago with a young Saoirse Ronan, as well as Cate Blanchett and Eric Bana. It's a great movie. That's now been made into an Amazon series, so that's a lot of fun. I also recommend checking out Orphan Black on Amazon. It is a kind of sci-fi mystery show about a woman who one night sees someone who looks exactly like her and learns that she's a clone. So that's a pretty interesting one to check out. I think I have much more recommendations. I could keep going and going, but I'll kind of leave it there. I think there's just, you know, a lot of opportunities to get caught up on things that you've always wanted to watch. So more than anything, I recommend making lists so that you have something to actually go back to whenever you're ready to start watching.
Plenty of great suggestions in there, and it seems like there's going to be a lot of time available to people to start binge watching over the next 2 or 3 weeks. Michael, we're very happy that you're back in the States safely. Sounds like your timing was impeccable. We always appreciate you giving us a few moments of your time, and we look forward to doing this again next week.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Michael. Again, that's Michael Warschauer joining